Well, Osama bin Laden has been killed. What does it mean to you personally? What does it mean to us as a nation? And how should we react to the death of an evil man?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it was late last night, Nancy and I were busy doing things, different parts of the house, when she said, just got the news report, I guess the email to her, the report that bin Laden had been killed, and then stayed around the computer to watch the report. Don't have TV, so watched the report online, and had a number of different reactions, number of different emotions, and I want to talk to you today about this. About the death of Osama bin Laden, how you reacted to this, how it affects you personally. Perhaps you lost a family member or someone close to a 9/11 or in our war against terror since then. Does this killing of bin Laden bring any sense of closure to you? Do you think it's going to make much of a difference worldwide in terms of terrorism? Do you think there's going to be a negative effect more than a positive effect because of reprisals? Do you think we did the right thing honoring Islamic tradition with just burying his body immediately at sea within 24 hours. Do you think that he was really a Muslim leader or just a mass terrorist? Oh, a whole bunch of questions we're going to talk about. And were you bothered that the president took so much personal credit for this, or were you applauding him? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Yeah, a lot to talk about. That's one of the beauties of live talk radio. I had a different subject planned for today, but obviously with the change in news, we're going in a different direction. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On Facebook, join in the discussion there at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Very interesting that the announcement of his death comes during Holocaust Remembrance Day. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting that the announcement of his death comes 66 years to the day from the announcement of the death of Adolf Hitler, May 1st, 1945. But again, personally, how did you react? Is this a cause for rejoicing? The Bible says that when the wicked are killed, when the wicked die, the righteous rejoice. Or is this a matter of justice at last, this criminal, evil man that plotted to kill men, women, and children without mercy, and in the name of Allah at that, he's finally gone, he's finally dead. Let's rejoice. Justice is done. Do you rejoice that justice is done, but you mourn that here's another lost soul? What about in the book of Ezekiel where God says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn and live? How did you respond personally? 9/11 touched our family in a more direct way than some other families. My wife Nancy has one brother, and he perished, leaving behind his wife and two children. He was killed in the World Trade Center. He used to work in the World Trade Center, but no longer did. And happened to be there just for a trade show that particular day on one of the top floors. And, you know, what a tragic set of circumstances. He was killed. Many of you listening in the New York area were touched very directly. Maybe you had a relative who was a fireman that died that day. Maybe a friend of yours and committed suicide after the trauma of losing family members. The pain is not easily healed. But does the killing of bin Laden give you a sense of good, we got him? Is there a sense of pride that you have as an American today that we were able to pull this off and take him down? Do you wonder why in the world it took almost 10 years to catch him? A lot of things to talk about. I had mixed emotions. On the one hand, I was glad that he was caught and killed at last. I would have been equally glad to see him taken alive and brought to trial for his crimes. But I was glad to see in that sense that justice was done. Jesus said, whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword. That's also repeated in Revelation, that same principle of violence begetting violence. I felt the president before the speech, this is going to be all about him. He's going to take a lot of credit. That bothered me, but maybe any president would do that. And then he's another lost soul who rejected God's mercy and will face severe judgment in the world to come. All that was going on in me. We'll get your reaction when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are going to focus today on our response to the killing of Osama bin Laden. Are you suspicious? Did it really happen? Is there a reason that the White House has not released a picture? They say there's DNA evidence. I personally am not suspicious, but maybe you are. Some reports that they don't want to release a picture because it's grotesque. Will that inflame more anger in the Muslim world? Well, we were told by our president that he was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass killer. He was a terrorist. He killed Muslims. Yet the fact is he's widely loved in some parts of the Muslim world. What if only 10% of the Muslim world reveres him? That's like 125 million people or 150 million people, half the population of the United States. That's a sizable minority. What about the fact that out of all the major voices around the world praising the American job of taking him out, saying it's good that he's dead, that it's really quite fascinating. It's really quite fascinating and not unexpected at all that Hamas is saying that a holy warrior was killed. Hamas, which we're told, you know, oh, work with Hamas and be understanding towards Hamas and evil Israel. And Hamas, again, shows its true colors as a terrorist organization. And Hamas is praising bin Laden and speaking against his killing. And Hamas and Fatah now want to work together. If you look at a map of Israel, okay, to make it simple, if you look on the left side, if you're looking at a map of Israel, on the left side, Gaza, left south side, okay, that's controlled by Hamas. Then what's called the West Bank would have been historic Judea Samaria on the right side, the middle and going up, if you're looking at a map, to make it simple. That's controlled by Fatah, which is more moderate than Hamas. Well, they are now talking about working together in a unity way, which would mean that almost all of Israel would be in rocket range for terrorist attacks. Hamas praising bin Laden and speaking against his killing. Just another thing to think about. So we're going to get your reactions. Now here, let me lay this out. I'm not out to argue with whether your opinion or view is right or wrong. I want to give you an opportunity to air your views on the shows today. I want to hear how you are reacting. And again, if you were especially touched by the events of 9/11 or a subsequent war on terror, does the killing of bin Laden bring some type of healing to you, some type of closure for you? Again, personally, on my end, as much as I was dreading the fact that our president would get up and make this speech and I did this and I did this and look at what I did, and it would be in that sense a praise to him, and I expected that before the speech happened, and sure enough it happened like that, it was certainly, from everything we understand, a job well done. And to the extent that our president orchestrated that, well, I commend him for that in the midst of my other disagreements with him. All right, to the phones, Dave in Hooksett, New Hampshire. What's your take, sir?
Hi, yes. No, you hit as soon as I heard you start discussing, I said, wow, this is amazing. Because it was last night, my daughter texted me. She was on a bus ride back to her college after having a day trip down to Six Flags. And saying, Osama bin Laden's dead. Yay, yippee, and all that. And I texted back. I goes, well, you know, I said, oh, really? I'll have to check it out. So then, you know, went to the TV. And then she texted again, I feel so good. And I had go back to her and explain to her, well, really good isn't the way to feel. At ease or relief, yes. Good job, mission accomplished to our military, yes. But good isn't really a Christian attitude to take on something like this. Not so much for the fact that it's just the killing of a person, but this is not a major victory of any sort, really, because he's one man. It's an idea. It's evil that we're at war with. So he was just happened to be the current figurehead, and even then he's been pretty impotent because he's had to been in hiding. So granted, I know it's relief, I think is a better term, and it's a feeling of justification. At least this guy is not enjoying any more free oxygen on the planet, because he certainly didn't deserve it. But when we come right down to it, none of us do as Christians. So, you know, good is something. When I see the exuberance, you're going to see that anyway, you know, but it's not a good thing. It's really not, but it's something to be expected, and hopefully it will just pass. After a while,
all right,
people will realize that the war is far from over.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. Some would say, you know, look, I mean, the Bible's clear that this is wickedness and that vengeance belongs to God and judgment and justice. And when he uses an arm of authority, like the Army or some special division or Navy SEALs or Delta Force or wherever it is, to take somebody out, then that's a positive thing. And we should rejoice. But I think it's good that we talk these issues through. Jeanette in Ashburn, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Similar to your previous caller, I was a bit conflicted. The human part of me, of course, is very glad that particular life is done with. But we know the type of legacy that he does leave, regardless of his death. And that's the part that I am concerned about. I do think that his burial was handled very well from a PR perspective. And especially being a Christian, I don't want to be in a position where I'm convincing others that they need to react in a very negative way against a community that believes in people having last moments of justice by God, not humans. As far as killing him, I would have preferred, if it were possible, to bring him in alive. I know that there is speculation that the government was afraid that he would, you know, be entitled to having a lawyer and might get off. But you know what? That's the country we belong in. We believe in rule of law. That's all I can say at the moment.
Got it. All right. Thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. All right. Just to throw this question back out to you. Our president was careful to say our war is not with Islam. To what extent did Osama bin Laden represent Islam? Did he represent something that is not Islam at all? Did he represent a radical strain of Islam? If someone went out and in the name of Jesus, right, with a Bible in their hand, went into a Muslim mall in the Middle East somewhere, in some prosperous Middle Eastern country, and started shooting and killing people in Jesus' name, without question, he does not represent Christianity in any shape, size, or form. That person would absolutely not represent Jesus, the Bible, in any shape, size, or form. That person would simply be a cold-blooded murderer. Maybe insane at the same time, but a cold-blooded murderer nonetheless. When Osama bin Laden did what he did, and Al-Qaeda's been doing what it's been doing around the world, does that represent Islam in any true level? Some would say it does. Some would say it's just an aberration of it. Others would say it doesn't represent Islam at all. What's interesting, though, is that we were very careful to honor Islamic tradition in his burial and make sure he was buried within 24 hours. That's what's very interesting. If he wasn't a Muslim leader, that we gave such careful attention to that. Someone said, well, we didn't want to offend Muslims. Someone else said, well, going in and killing him, doesn't that offend Muslims? So it's a very tricky situation. But burying him at sea so that there can be no glorifying him and have a shrine for him and all that, yeah, absolutely a good move. Although some will say we never got him. I understand there'll be those suspicions. I personally don't hold to them myself. 866-34-TRUTH. AJ in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I don't think we should get happy too fast. And if you know the book of the Quran, they're practicing a version of the Kito, which means to lie to the Christian and Jews' face. And basically, they're kill the Christian and the Jews. This man wasn't a holy man. He was a terrorist, a prince. And I think what was done was an act of war on America's behalf on him. And I'm glad that we got rid of him, because now we got to worry about this 13th of month is next, and we should not be victorying or anything like that right now.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this was an act of war. I believe we had every right to take him out. The question is, what are the effects of this? What happens next? Does the killing of Osama bin Laden now create this martyr complex, and now people are going to just go berserk around the world? Is it, if he dies now, no holds barred, just go for it, we're all going to start our terrorist acts? Is that something in writing? Or have we done enough over the years in the previous administration, the current administration, have we done enough over the years to weaken al-Qaeda sufficiently so that it cannot carry out many of the acts that it's wanted to? Questions to ask, but this much is sure. This is not a time for ease. This is not a time for people to think, oh, the war on terror is over, and I don't think anyone is saying that. Simply a significant blow against a significant leader that we have been after for a long time. And you just think, boy, violence begets violence. You set yourself up, you kill, you destroy. You yourself will be killed, will be destroyed. And even though he has been taken out in this world, he's still going to stand before the judge of all the earth. And that will be dreadful. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today as we reflect on the death, the killing of Osama bin Laden. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for today's resources for the show, also to get into the discussion there. Again, my own emotions, if you missed when I waited at the beginning of the show, I'm glad that we got him. I'm glad that a man that brought such destruction on others is no longer able to plot evil, no longer able to give out instructions to kill and destroy other lives. Nancy's only brother was killed 9/11, leaving behind his young wife and two little children. So the loss struck our family, some of your families, even more closely than that. So he is taken out of the way. What my mixed emotions were, number one, it's good that he's taken out of the way. Number two, I suspected before the announcement was made that there would be a lot of I and me and what I did from our president. Perhaps any president would do that, but that bothered me that this act of taking out a terrorist would now be heaping praise, the president would be heaping praise on himself for doing it. That bothered me. I'm just being straight with you. You can differ with me. I'm just telling you how I felt. And then in the midst of, it's good that he's gone. It's good that we got him. Wow, what a shock after almost 10 years of looking for this guy. It's amazing he was able to hide that long, that effectively. It really is amazing to me. I didn't know what the repercussions would be, if this is going to create more loss of life in the aftermath. Will there be people just going crazy that would have been more restrained? We have to pray for God's mercy and protection for many in the midst of this. And, of course, just mourn the fact that here's another lost soul, another lost man, according to everything that we understand, dying in his sin, dying in his rejection of the truth of the gospel, lost forever. And it's a fallen, messed up world we're in. People do all kinds of evil things, and they will pay for it. God will bring complete and final justice. Even if he lived to be 90 years old and lived in peace and prosperity outwardly, he would ultimately face the judge. He will still face the judge. But those who live by the sword die by the sword, and he was punished in this world. And there is something to that of importance. Keith in Queens, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon. My comment is this. You were just talking about Christians, and if they were doing, they commit some act in the name of Jesus, that then they definitely won't be Christian. My comment is this. I have studied Islam for quite over 21 years, and I mean quite a lot of my relatives are also Muslim believers. And whether or not this guy Osama bin Laden, claimed to be Muslim or not, they have considered, Islamic people consider him to be one of them. Once you have been born in an Islamic home, you are a Muslim. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can never leave Islam. You can't. It is something that has been, they believe that has been embedded in them, and you cannot give it up. That's why when you leave Islam, the only thing that you're worthy of it is death. So the thing is, you cannot expect a dog not to bark. A dog must bark. So if a Christian claims that he's a Christian and he goes committing acts of crimes, whether it be murder or anything like that, then he cannot, because first of all, the person that he's supposed to be serving, which is Christ, it is unlike a Christian to do something like that. Whereas with Islam have been taught everything in the writings, the hadith, together with the Quran. It teaches them violence. Everything, they lie to the public, and they lie. They even have President Bush believing the nonsense that they're peace-loving. They are not. I am telling you, I'm from that background. Relatives, not me personally, but mm-hmm. relatives of mine have been there, and I've been in quite a lot of their discussions and so on, right here in the United States. And they said they go to the colleges, they go to the universities, they go to the schools, but when you're there in their gathering, you should listen to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, the radicalism, right. There's a lot more radicalism is actually there. Hey, Keith, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that, sir. Look, I fully understand that there are moderate Muslims. I have a translation of the Quran that tries to put a different spin on certain passages and say, look, this has been misunderstood and so on. And you have to read this chronologically, that the attack and kill passages, that was just for wars for that time, and they don't apply any more than the kill the Canaanites applies to us. Let's just say that the Quran and the Islamic traditions, look at it like this. Jesus wasn't beheading anyone. Jesus was not a military hero. Jesus died for our sins, whereas the one that is emulated by Muslims, Muhammad himself, was a man of violence. Let's not forget that, even though maybe the majority of Muslims would repudiate the terrorist bombings and those kinds of things, there is much in Islam that gives way to this type of teaching, this type of radicalism. Okay, one more quick call. Debbie in Fairfax County, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My comment is that a lot of what happened in the announcement feels like Hollywood to me, as does a lot of things about this presidency. The fact that he was, killed on an anniversary of Hitler's death, the way that it was presented to the American public, I don't feel that it was justice for those who lost lives and family in any of the terrorist attacks anywhere around the world. I believe that justice can only come when the Lord returns, or when these people face God. And by these people, I mean anyone who rejects Christ.
Right. I appreciate that. Hey, Debbie, one thing, of course, I imagine whoever would be the president would have really taken this and getting bin Laden would use this as a major point of boasting and, hey, we did it, and I directed us to do X, Y, Z. I was personally bothered by the way President Obama did it. I don't know that other presidents wouldn't have done the same. And I know that the plan was to get him the day before, and then there were some weather issues. That's why it happened on that particular day. So I don't know that it was consciously done at the timing of Hitler's death. But I do understand the sense of hollowness that you get from it. I do appreciate you calling in, weighing in. We will get to a lot more calls in the next half hour, but just a special announcement. If you really are serious about your life counting for Jesus, and you would like to kind of read and listen to some things that'll supercharge you, I mean challenge you, I mean rock your world, I've got three books, two together, packaged in one, printed in one, three books together, though. How Saved Are We? Whatever Happened to the Power of God? And It's Time to Rock the Boat, along with three audio messages, Call to Die, Holy Desperation, and Fire, that will rock your world. Don't call unless you're serious, but we have these resources, especially priced, that will really impact you if you get them, read them, listen to them. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Ask for today's special resource package, or go online to Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Let's move forward in Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You might say to me, I don't get it. Why were you concerned that the president of the United States would make this into a personal victory and would talk about the great things that he did in taking down Osama bin Laden? Why did that bother you? Well, because I have profound differences on many issues with President Obama. I have profound moral difference with many issues with President Obama. I have profound difference on stances he has taken that affect morality and life here in America in the most radical ways of any president we've had. I'm concerned about the economy and other things like that, but those are so secondary to me in terms of the moral issues, just from my perspective. Now, let me take this a little further here, open up a can of worms. I would not like to see Mr. Obama reelected because of his radical pro-abortion policies, because of his radical support of gay activism and other things. Those things deeply, deeply concern me. And because of that and other areas where I feel he's not been a good leader, I would not like to see him reelected. However, at the same time, I recognize that the potential of his reelection, which is a long ways off, but the potential of his reelection let's say he was reelected, that could be what's necessary for the church to awake more fully. It could be that if many conservative Christians, especially white evangelicals, get a Republican candidate that they feel good about, that they'll take the foot off the gas pedal of prayer and crying out to God and asking him for awakening and asking him for mercy and recognizing how messed up things are. Or if the economy starts to improve, that we stop praying, that would be a big mistake. So ultimately, my desire is that the will of God will be done. I'm just sharing honestly some of my reaction last night when I first heard the news. Bin Laden's dead. Okay, is this accurate? This news reports are coming out. Let's hear it confirmed. This really happened. Yes, it really happened. Now, next thing, there's going to be an announcement for our president. And I'm thinking it's going to be a lot of I, me. I'm just telling you, before he came on the air and gave his announcement, and sure enough, that's what happened. To the extent that he is the man that made it happen, to the extent that all the I's and the me's are that accurate, well, then more credit to him for a job well done. And credit to our guys that went in there in potentially life-threatening situations and carried out their training well. And on the other hand, we're in a messed up world. We're in a very messed up world. We're in a messed up world where people are dying every day just because we're in a fallen world. We're in a messed up world where people are taking one another's lives and their terrorist attacks, and then we take out the terrorists. And hey, it's necessary. You know, there is authority established by God, Romans the 13th chapter. And that authority established by God does have a sword to carry. And without that sword being carried, there would be complete chaos on the earth. I recognize the role of authority, the role of government, the role of the military in this human world. And I recognize we've got a world filled with false religion, filled with cults, filled with darkness, filled with sin. And it all reminds me of how we need Jesus to come back. And until he returns, how we need to take hold of the fullness of the gospel and what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. We see what radical Muslims given over to death can do in terms of bringing destruction. How about committed followers of Jesus given over to the purposes of God? What can we do in terms of bringing life and transformation and salvation and healing and deliverance to many? If Osama bin Laden and his dedicated terrorists who pledged themselves by life or by death to accomplish what they felt was Allah's will and destroyed so many, multiplied thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. If they could do that for the power of darkness, what could we do for the power of light? What could we do in the name of Jesus? What could we do bringing life, offering salvation, offering a better way to this world if we simply committed ourselves to the gospel more fully? That's what I'm thinking about. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls on the other side of the break. 866-348-7884. A whole lot of questions to ask. Want to get your reactions on the death of Osama bin Laden.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I found it. Only a two-minute break, but I was able to locate the document, print it up. That's what we do here on The Line of Fire. Tell me what you think of these words. Pray during the night and be persistent in asking God to give you victory, control, and conquest, and that he may make your task easier and not expose us. Remember God frequently. Purify your soul from all unclean things. Completely forget something called this world, or this life. The time for play is over, and the serious time is upon us. How much time have we wasted in our lives? Shouldn't we take advantage of these last hours to offer good deeds and obedience? You say, oh, is that like a Christian teaching somewhere? Or no, these are the last words, text of the final letter for the suicide bombers of 9/11, 2001. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is what they're reading and meditating on. Maybe I'll share a bit more in a little while. And it's very, very clear about getting ready to go on these planes and slaughter these people and then crash these planes and destroy as many lives as possible and leave a lasting scar on the American people, the American nation, a scar that we still feel to this day. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, talking about the death of Osama bin Laden. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Bill in West Springfield, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call. Been educated on Christian radio concerning, well, I'll put it this way, radical Christianity versus radical Islam. Radical Christianity, as I've been learning to live into, genuine Christianity will not advocate the use of violence or encourage violence. But if we get back to our genuine roots and be men of Christ, be God-filled, we will advocate peace and loving one another, not advocate violence. But as I'm learning about radical Islam, that if we get back to the roots, it is, well, other religions were, the people of those faiths are infidels, they're impure. And if we cannot coerce them, influence them by our preaching, they will advocate, you know, violence. And even on Muhammad's deathbed, one of his three wishes was, death wishes was, on the Arabian Peninsula, there should be only one faith, and that's Islam. And then people will say, well, what about Christianity's checkered past, and, you know, the Holy Wars? That was an offshoot, not true Christianity. It was aberration of that. And I had mixed feelings, Dr. Brown. I wish he had come to justice. And I do believe that there are going to be repercussions. And as you were saying about our president, you know, I love him as I'm supposed to do, but trust is earned. I don't trust him in terms of his views on pro-abortion, gay rights. Thank you for taking my call, and have a nice day.
All right. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you weighing in. Look, there is a checkered past in what is called Christianity. I've written about it as a Jewish person. I've debating rabbis many times, talking to traditional Jews over and over and over and over again. I've had to renounce it. I've had to repudiate it. And it's both Catholic and Protestant, and it goes back to the early development of what we call Christianity and really starts to become full-blown in the 4th century. But on every level, it violates the teaching of Jesus. On every level, it has no support in the biblical text. On every level, it goes against the spirit and letter of what the gospel is about. And yet, there is much in Islam that can be drawn on. There is much in Islam that can be drawn on to, excuse me, to use violence to advance Islam. Here, let me share some of this with you. This is instructions for the last night of an Islamic suicide terrorist. The last night, number one, make an oath to die and renew your intentions. Remember, this, from what we understand, this was read and acted on by the terrorist who carried out the 9/11 bombings at the direction of Osama bin Laden. shave excess hair from the body and wear cologne, shower. A part of this is you're going to go into the world to come, so this is how you're preparing. And according to reports that I read in the hotel rooms where these men stayed, there was all this hair that had been shaved from their bodies. Number two, make sure you know all aspects of the plan well and expect the response or a reaction from the enemy. Number three, read Al-Talba and Anfal, traditional war chapters from the Quran, and reflect on their meanings and remember all of the things that God has promised for the martyrs. Let me ask you, which New Testament passages would you meditate on that would tell you to go kill innocent people? Which New Testament passages would you meditate on that would tell you to destroy men, women, and children in cold blood? Sermon on the Mount, maybe? Paul's love chapter in 1 Corinthians? Life in the Spirit in Romans 8? I mean, the crucifixion of Jesus chapters in the Gospels? What would you read that would tell you to go out and kill and murder? Number four, remind your soul to listen and obey all divine orders and remember that you will face decisive situations that might prevent you from 100% obedience. So tame your soul, purify it, convince it, make it understand and incite it. God said, obey God and his messenger and do not fight amongst yourselves or else you will fail. And be patient, for God is with the patient. Again, I'm reading, if you're just tuning in, it's not a Christian letter. This is instructions for the last light of an Islamic suicide terrorist. These instructions carried out, read by the 9/11 bombers. Pray during the night and be persistent in asking God to give you victory, control, and conquest, and that he may make your task easier and not expose us. Remember God frequently, and the best way to do it is to read the Holy Quran. According to all scholars, as far as I know, it is enough for us that it, the Quran, are the words of the Creator of the earth and the plants, the ones that you will meet on the Day of Judgment. Purify your soul from all unclean things. Completely forget something called this world or this life. The time for play is over and the serious time is upon us. How much time have we wasted in our lives? Shouldn't we take advantage of these last hours to offer good deeds and obedience? Number eight, you should feel complete tranquility because the time between you and your marriage, meaning in heaven, is very short. Afterwards begins the happy life where God is satisfied with you in eternal bliss in the company of the prophets, the companions, the martyrs, and the good people who are all good company. Ask God for his mercy and be optimistic because the prophet, peace be upon him, goes on. That's the only text there. It looks like the sentence cuts itself off. Keep in mind that if you fall into hardship, how you will act and how you will remain steadfast. Remember that you will return to God and remember that anything that happens to you could never be avoided. And what did not happen to you could never have happened to you. In other words, Islam believes in complete and total predestination. Inshallah, as they say, as Allah wills. Whatever happens is Allah's will. This test from Almighty God is to raise your level, meaning levels of heaven, and erase your sins and be sure that it is a matter of moments, which will then pass. God willing, so blessed are those who win the great reward of God. Almighty God said, did you think you could go to heaven before God knows who amongst you who have fought for him and are patient? Remember the words of Almighty God, of Allah. You were looking to the battle before you engaged in it, and now you see it with your own two eyes. Remember how many small groups beat big groups by the will of God. And his words, if God gives you victory, no one can beat you. And if he betrays you, who can give you victory without him? So the faithful put their trust in God. Oh, boy. Check your weapon before you leave and long before you leave. You must make your knife sharp and you must not discomfort your animal during the slaughter. Oh, how sick. Pray the morning prayer. This is 15. In a group and ponder the great rewards of that prayer. Make supplications afterward. And do not leave your apartment unless you have performed ablution, ritual washing, before leaving, because the angels will ask for your forgiveness as long as you're in a state of ablution and will pray for you. The saying of the prophet was mentioned by An-Nawawi in his book, The Best of Supplications. Read the words of God. Did you think that we created you for no reason? From the Al-Mu'minun chapter. And then it tells you when this taxi takes you, do this. When you've reached this, do this. And here's how you pray and here's what you do. And I mean, this to them was religious holy war. And yes, it is true that a large amount of Muslims, hundreds of millions of Muslims around the world would be appalled at these things, would renounce these things. There is a strong radical stream of Islam. There is a violent stream of Islam. There is a violent part of Islam that has been there through its history. And right now in the Middle East, in Egypt, here's a report from a colleague of mine in Israel. The very things that were idealistically overlooked by the Western democracies during the Arab Spring are quickly coming to pass. The formerly outlawed Muslim Brotherhood, the party representing radical Islam in Egypt, is already taking a place of dominance in the political life of the nation. In the past few weeks, the new government announced that it has reversed Egypt's 30-year policy and has established diplomatic relations with Iran, and the two nations have promised to exchange ambassadors. It has also promised to open the border crossing between Egypt and Gaza. This border crossing will be an open door for the smuggling of arms into the Gaza Strip, which we use to attack Israel. The supply of natural gas from Egypt to Israel, before the revolution, Egypt supplied 30% of Israel's natural gas, has been interrupted by two terrorist attacks, and the new Egyptian government seems to be opposed to selling any of their gas to Israel. Friends, the Middle East needs prayer. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I want to take a moment before the show is out to talk about the kind of revolution I believe in, the kind of revolution Jesus came to bring. 866-34-TRUTH, as we talk about radical Islam, as we talk about the destructive work of Osama bin Laden, as we talk about his death, I want to talk about the kind of revolution that we do need, the kind of revolution I believe in. Back to the phones first. Oh, and something else of interest I'll share with you in a moment. But first to the phones, Matt in Secaucus, New Jersey. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I have to say I wasn't filled with joy and glee that he was murdered. I don't believe in finding happiness and joy and glee in the death of anyone, be it my enemy or friend. I pray for his soul. I pray for us as a nation. I pray for everyone, and that God may hopefully deliver us from our sins in whatever manner he chooses, and to impose any action upon us that he so chooses, because he is supreme.
Got it. All right, Matt, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. By the way, I would certainly not say that Osama bin Laden was murdered. He was killed. Murder would be an act of cold blood. Killing someone who was a terrorist and was a wanted terrorist, I would not call that murder. I would say that that person was killed. I would make a distinction there, of course. All right. You know, we talk about revolution here on the Line of Fire. It's something I believe in. But it's a Jesus kind of revolution. It is the exact opposite of a violent revolution. The exact opposite of a communist revolution, the exact opposite of an Islamic revolution. It overcomes evil with good. It overcomes hatred with love. We don't take other people's lives. We lay down our lives on their behalf. Jesus came into the world not to establish a lovely home and garden religion called Christianity so we could have Easter egg hunts and Christmas trees. That's not why Jesus died. Jesus came into the world to fulfill what was written in Moses and the prophets. He came to bring the kingdom of God. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. He taught us to pray radical prayers like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's upheaval. Revolution speaks of radical, dramatic, sweeping change. Jesus came into the world to bring radical, dramatic, sweeping change. And you can read the Sermon on the Mount as a counterculture manifesto. You can read the Sermon on the Mount as a calling to swim against the tide, to go against the grain, to live by different principles. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Truly happy are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Truly happy. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed, truly happy are the meek, quoting from Psalm 37, for they will inherit the earth. So we see that Jesus is drawing on a whole different mindset. And when Peter takes up the sword, when Jesus is coming, when Judas has betrayed him and the high priest has sent an entourage to get Jesus, and Peter takes up his sword, Jesus says, put down your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. When Jesus said he came to bring a sword, he's talking about of separation within a family, that those that would follow him would be separated from those who wouldn't follow him. That's what the kingdom of God always brings. It separates those who really want God from those who don't want God. But Jesus made clear that his kingdom was not to be advanced through earthly fighting. Yeah, there is a place for military, but the place of military is not to advance the kingdom of God by subduing nations and forcing them to convert to Christianity. That is not the place of military, nor do we engage in a holy war. Let's say we were fighting against Nazi Germany or fighting against Japan in World War II. Yeah, there was a lot of evil going on in those regimes, in those empires, in those countries. And yet this was not a holy war in the name of Christianity. This was simply a war for what was right and to stop the onslaught of evil. But we don't look at it as a holy war and we're now going to Christianize everyone through it. The Jesus Revolution is spiritual. It affects us and transforms one life at a time spiritually. And because we are spiritually transformed, it brings a moral transformation. And because we are morally transformed, it brings a cultural transformation. That's how the Jesus Revolution works. And that is what, by God's grace, I am giving my life to. That means awakening in the church. It means that we are transformed and we go out and transform others. Okay, a special resource I want to mention to you in a moment. But can I enlist your services? Only take you a minute. I need you to visit Amazon. Go online, visit Amazon.com, and click on my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. If you haven't purchased it yet, read some of the reviews of the people who found it eye-opening, life-changing. Just heard from someone else who's found it tremendously useful and important in a battle he's fighting at a college in North Carolina. Get your own copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Tell your friends about it. Get copies for them. But here's what I would like you to do. Every so often, folks will post these really intense, kind of wild, bashing reviews. One came out over the weekend saying this: vile at all levels. If Mr. Brown's theology is as picked through as the reports he presents in this book, then I would have to suspect that he is morally bankrupt on multiple levels. The reviewer claims that he found 691 pages of ramblings and note-taking from a person obviously obsessed, if not even living in total fear, of a people he has absolutely no understanding of or relationship with. On and on, claims that I reference materials that have been discredited by every major psychological, psychiatric, and medical organization in the country. So here's what's helpful. When you go to purchase something, you'll often look at reviews, and here's a positive review, and 300 out of 350 people find it helpful. And then here's some negative review, and 4 out of 100 find it helpful. You realize, okay, the positive review is an accurate one. That's why people find it helpful. The negative review was not accurate. So there are some people, I mean, they're out to bash us. They're out to discredit us. I know some personally that they are devoted to doing this and to try to tear down whatever it is that we can build up for the sake of truth. So a good way that you can deal with it, I'm sure truth will triumph. I'm confident of that. I'm sure God will use this book to touch many and help bring an awakening to the conscience of the nation. And for me, this is all part of the Jesus Revolution, getting truth out, getting this message out to open hearts, open minds, change lives. But if you go online, go to Amazon.com and look at some of the recent reviews, positive reviews. If you find them helpful, check off you like them or you find them helpful, say good. If not, it's just real simple. You just check on or off. If you find the unhelpful, the negative reviews unhelpful, or you just check those off accordingly. And your check marks will make a big difference. So will you do that? Just take 5 minutes before the day's out or as soon as you have online access. And then for those that need a jolt, something that'll kind of take you by the shirt collar and shake you in a holy and loving way, we've put together a package with my books, How Saved Are We?, Whatever Happened to the Power of God?, It's Time to Rock the Boat, together with three messages, Call to Die, Holy Desperation, and Fire, all on an audio CD. These will rock your world. Trust me. You can get them at a special price today by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of these. They will rock your world. And now, my bottom line. There is an end to evil. There is an end to ugly violence, destruction, hatred. But there will be no end to the love and truth and goodness and power and grace and mercy of God. The kingdom of God will ultimately prevail, and evil will be fully eradicated. Well, Osama bin Laden has been killed. What does it mean to you personally? What does it mean to us as a nation? And how should we react to the death of an evil man?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Osama bin Laden. Killed at last, brought down by some elite American forces. Yesterday, it happened to be announced on Holocaust Memorial Day, Holocaust Remembrance Day. It happened to be 66 years to the day that Adolf Hitler's death was announced. How did you react to it? How did you respond to the reports rejoicing that an evil man, evil terrorist, was taken down? Mourning because another lost soul dies without God to bring any type of closure or healing if you were directly affected by 9/11 or the subsequent war on terror. Were you proud of our president, or were you upset that it happened under President Obama's watch? Just asking some honest questions. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Join the discussion on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Does Osama bin Laden represent Islam? Does he represent a radical arm of Islam? Does he represent something that cannot truly be called Islam any more than if some Christian carrying a Bible went into a mall and started shooting people in Jesus' name, that does not represent Jesus or Christianity? Do the actions of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, and by the way, sometimes I'll say Al-Qaeda, sometimes I'll say Al-Qaeda, in both pronunciations or accepted, and sometimes I switch. So some of you listening carefully think, well, why do you? There's no real reason. I studied Arabic 3 years. There's no real reason. Just do sometimes. So don't be upset with me for it, all right? 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. Oh, another reminder. Our friends in Raleigh, we're getting close now. Just 9 days off. I can't believe it. A week from this Wednesday, pastors and leaders in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, if you're within a couple hours of Raleigh, please join us for a special luncheon at 11:30. Details on my website, AskDrBrown.org. Our religious freedom's under fire. You want to be there. I'll be giving you a free CD to take back with you as well. And then 7 p.m., everyone listening in the greater Raleigh area, tell your friends we're going to have a special listeners' rally. I'm going to bring a message I believe will stir your hearts. We'll also be giving a free CD out to everyone that comes, a great opportunity to meet face-to-face. So make sure that's on your calendar, May 11th, just 9 days off. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, my own reaction. I, on the one hand, of course, was glad that we finally got bin Laden. It's amazing that he had a network that tight around him that we couldn't find others to infiltrate, that we, you know, Israeli intelligence has been able to infiltrate all kinds of unusual settings. Years ago, the cleaning crew for Hosni Mubarak had his Israeli infiltrators on it, and they actually planted mics in his office so they could listen to what was going on. I can't verify in detail. These are just accounts I had read. The Hafez Assad, the father of the current leader of Syria, was at some meeting with Muslim leaders, Arab Middle East leaders, and we get these reports that he's dying of cancer, that Israelis were able to get a urine sample when he went to the bathroom and found that he's dying of cancer. You think, how in the world? And you know, American intelligence, we have all these resources. It was that hard to get this guy. It's amazing that the network around him was that tight, that people were that loyal, that they couldn't get someone to betray where he was. The one hand, it was good that we got him and these elite troops going in to get him. I was expecting the president to make a lot of the announcement about him, and I did this and I authorized this. So before he made his announcement, I was expecting it. I didn't like that, but I don't know that any other president wouldn't have made it into a personal triumph also, but it was a bit too much about our president for my taste. My wife's brother was killed 9/11, so Osama bin Laden's death does strike close to home. Then I also had the grief. Here's another lost soul who's going to stand before judgment and pay. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What do you think the reaction is going to be to the killing of Osama bin Laden? I had a caller in the first hour that said that, made reference to his murder. It's not murder. To me, it's not murder. He was a wanted terrorist. He was taken out in a military operation. To me, that's not murder. And the way that his body was disposed of, see, I know there's some suspicious. Did we really get him, and how do we really know it? Well, if we claim to have gotten him and didn't have him, I have no suspicion personally. The idea that somehow we got somebody else, I mean, can you imagine if he then resurfaces a year later? The monstrosity of that, the superhuman nature of that, the way he would look in the mockery of America and so on. So I don't doubt that we got him. I find it interesting that Mr. Obama, and to the extent he was responsible for this operation being carried out the way he did, more power to him for doing it well. Again, I don't like the way it became a lot about I did this and me that, and so on, but that's a very petty minor thing in light of the bigger issues here. I want to make that clear. But our president said that he was not an Islamic leader. He was a murderer. He was a mass murderer. He was a terrorist. Yet we know that he's loved and respected in many circles in the Islamic world, at least radical Islam. We know that the name Osama became very popular after 9/11, that many people became Muslims, shockingly, after 9/11. You think, how in the world? Yeah, well, there was this violent appeal in it. And if he was not a Muslim leader, why was he so carefully disposed of, his body disposed of within 24 hours in accordance with Muslim law, and what I understand, his body prepared by other Muslims appropriately. It just reminds you, of course he was a Muslim. He may not have represented the majority of Islam, but he represented quite a number of people. Some things to talk about today on the Line of Fire. We'll also talk about some other Mideast implications and even the reaction of Hamas to the death of Osama bin Laden. But we'll begin with Juan in Kings Bay, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I love the Word. I love the Lord. But I'll be honest, my feelings were not right because I was happy. I was like, yes, he's dead. He's gone. And I'm a former Navy submariner, so I was very excited. Yes, you know, America, woohoo. But later on the day, actually just before I got out of class, you know, jokingly, I said, you know what? The reality of the afterlife is hitting them right now. Like, it just hit me, you know, like, wow, you know, this guy believed so desperately that, not even desperately, it would be right, zealously, that he would die and he would be rewarded for all the things he'd done by Allah or God. And now he's seen the truth of it, the absolute truth of the lies that he followed and the lies that other people followed, is starting to really hit him, you know?
Yeah, that is the stark reality. On the one hand, I'm all for people who were glad that in accordance with Scripture that says when the wicked die, when the wicked are killed, the righteous rejoice. But I also understand that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That there's, on the one hand, you know, the angels of God and the people shouting hallelujah in the book of Revelation when Babylon comes down. And let's just think, if these guys were all trying to attack a nursery school where our kids were, right?
Right.
And they're, you know, they're right about to do it, and our kids are inside, and our grandkids, and they're about to be slaughtered, and some elite forces of our government come in there and wipe these guys out, we'd be rejoicing. We'd be jumping up and down and hugging each other and crying and hugging them. So that reaction, I mean, here's a man that was a mass murderer. That reaction is absolutely a right reaction, but the other reaction is also right, to say there's another lost soul for whom Jesus died, lost forever, and the stark realities of the judgment he's really going to face, that getting shot in the head by our military is the small part.
Yep.
Hey, Juan, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. What was your reaction? What was your response to the news of the death of Osama bin Laden? Kelly in Jacksonville, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I just like Juan, my first reaction was a quick elation, and then thinking about, you know, that we're really not supposed to be elated at the perils of our enemies. But my biggest concern, well, that's not my biggest concern. I was pretty upset when the president took complete credit because we know that this started a long time before he got there. And then my next concern was that I'm really hoping that we won't become complacent, because just because he's gone, you know that he knew that that was always the possibility. So you always know that in Islam, as we have been shown time and time and time again, in radical Islam, we've been shown time and time and time again that when one is taken out, there's somebody standing in the wings waiting to jump right in there and take over the cause. And so that would be my biggest concern, is that we would become complacent.
Right. And I think, again, because for the most part, you know, we have all of our security in place at airports. When you fly overseas, you know, certain places can be potentially dangerous and to be careful. So, you know, I think that awareness is there. The question is, was Osama bin Laden, and again, it's good that he's gone, either captured or taken out of the way, or killed. It's good that he's taken out of the way. Was he in any way a restraining force because he's planning long-term, trying to do this and that, and obviously hasn't been able to carry out anything of significance against the United States in years? You take him out of the way, could there be just an explosion of craziness and of people now, just all kinds of suicide bombers and all kinds of, you know, dirty bombs and these different things? Or could it be could it be you chop the head off and there's a lot of disorganization? In either case...
That was my next concern, is that he's been a pretty tight leader. So just like some of the other countries now that we're seeing, where we did have a really tight leadership there that were keeping the radical thoughts really out of the picture. And then, what's going to happen now, because he's not there holding the reins really tight?
Yeah, and again, all this is a reminder. I mean, forget Osama bin Laden, forget Ahmadinejad, forget these other guys. There's a real devil who's out to destroy. And we know that we're called to be sober and vigilant, because there is a spiritual enemy out to destroy. So we should always live in an attitude of sobriety before the Lord and of readiness, recognizing that we're in hostile territory in this earth, and yet God's kingdom is being built in the midst of it. And that's where our focus has to be. But thank you, Kelly, for calling. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Newport Richey, Florida. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my phone call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to let you know, I was in Operation Enduring Freedom back when 9/11 happened, and we were deployed over to Afghanistan. And so when I heard the news last night, me and my wife, we toasted, and we were like, it's finally over that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's by no means over in the big picture, but it brought peace to me, only because I've had to be, you know, to partake in 21 gun salutes to my brothers who fell in the battles over there, and even in Iraq and whatnot. And while, you know, I understand the concept of, you know, not necessarily wanting to rejoice, I think it's been a long splinter in our side that, you know, we set our sights out to apprehend this individual, and it's taken us 10 years, but it's finally done. You know, I mean, all this time we've more or less had people doubting, like, oh, well, we can't even catch one person.
Right, right.
But the only other thing I wanted to comment on is that President Obama mentioned, we're not at war with Islam. You know, this is a radical Islam, and he murdered Muslims. And from my understanding, from what I've learned from Islam, as far as their belief structure, the teachings of the Quran and the quotes of Muhammad, he's actually more in line with true Islam versus the more or less the Muslims who want to, you know, live and let live amongst the infidels of their belief. So
Stephen, it would be pretty much like us looking at people who go to church on Christmas and Easter and don't believe the Bible is God's word. Do they really represent what Jesus and Christianity are about? No. And you would say that the Muslims that are just kind of the pacifists, live and let live, and let's all get along together and be ecumenical, that they don't represent true Islam, and that Osama bin Laden does. Without question, Stephen, he represents a legitimate strain of Islam. Without question, he represents something that is legitimately found in the Quran and legitimately found in Islamic tradition, and that is the strain of violence and warfare in the name of Muhammad. Hey, we've got a break, but Stephen, thank you for your courage, for risking your life for America's freedoms. And I fully understand with the loss of life of friends and fellow soldiers with you, to lose their lives, to see Osama bin Laden taken down, absolutely does close a chapter for you. And I fully understand the toast that you and your wife had. So be strong. Let's move forward. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. We'll be back with some more calls. And, oh, a little later in the show, I'm going to read a shocking text to you. Trust me.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today, friends, as we talk about the death of Osama bin Laden, your reaction to it. Again, the celebration over his death, the fact that we felt good, we finally got this bad guy. I understand that there is a role that government has. It bears the sword. It carries out justice. It fights evildoers. And when an evildoer goes down, there is rejoicing on the one hand. On the other hand, it's a reminder of the fallen, lost world that we're in. It's a reminder of how many people follow false gods and false religions. It's a reminder of how we need Jesus to return and bring about ultimate justice. And the people who've lost loved ones whose lives have been forever scarred, or at least scarred in this world, by the damage done by Osama bin Laden, these terrorists, although this brings a certain closure, it can't replace the lives that have been lost. So just another reminder to me of how we need the gospel and the mercy of God to spread through this earth. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you're a Muslim listening and you feel that you are a devoted Muslim, and you pray five times a day, You follow the pillars of Islam, you've made the Hajj, you fast during Ramadan, etc., and you feel that Osama bin Laden's Islam does not represent true Islam at all, by all means, call in. I won't ridicule you. I won't argue with you. Feel free to weigh in with a different perspective. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, this is significant to me. This is significant. Right now, in the Middle East, you have the Muslim Brotherhood, which represents radical Islam. Groups like Hamas and these others ultimately can be traced back in terms of their roots to Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood gaining power in Egypt, wanting to work together with Iran, wanting to open up border crossings from Egypt into Gaza, which means that Hamas would get a ton more weaponry potentially to launch against Israel. Hamas will never even refer to the existence of Israel in its documents. It stands for the annihilation of the state of Israel. Hamas, the one group that very vocally, of major groups, I mean, this is represented the government in Gaza, right? Duly elected government, terrorist organization that America still refuses to deal with because it is terrorist, thankfully. Not thankfully, it's still terrorist. Thankfully, America won't deal with it because it's terrorist. Think of this. Hamas praised Osama bin Laden and was upset with America for killing this holy warrior. And Hamas and Fatah making agreement that this represents the to the east and to the west, totally surrounding Israel. I mean, sandwiching, I should say, Israel on either side. Hamas and Fatah saying they want to work together in a unified way. We'll see how long that lasts. But they want to work together in a unified way would mean the vast majority of the population of Israel would be in range of rockets of the two. I mean, you're talking about, you see what's happened with Osama bin Laden, but even if he's one man, he represents probably a couple hundred million Muslims worldwide. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, more on your reactions. Lori in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, did you say Lori?
Yes, I did. That would be
okay.
You.
All right, I just heard a big noise. Anyway, yeah, did you hear President Obama say, one nation under God with liberty and justice for all, and it's funny that all of a sudden he's saying one nation under God, when we all heard him say this is not a Christian nation. And I don't know how many of us saw him bow low to Islamic leaders. And we know that, you know, he's thinking about election popularity already. And so we'll just see how much he milks this. We'll just see how much the liberal media milks this for reelection.
Yeah, you know, my wife Nancy told me, she called to me and said, you know, we were both in different parts of the house, and she said, Bin Laden's dead. I said, what? So we're both online looking, and so I watched online the presentation from the president. And before he came on, I was having mixed feelings already, because I was glad Bin Laden was taken down. On the other hand, I knew that a lot of this was going to be about Mr. Obama. I did this. So I would say the degree of I and me and what he carried out, how he carried it out, was more than I was expecting. Now, if it was his single-handed genius in getting it done in cooperation with our intelligence, more power to him. And perhaps President Bush or another president would have taken credit the same way. But, you know, I thought, boy, isn't that strange? I have these mixed feelings over it because of that. Ultimately, though, I mean, it's so far ahead of elections and things that whatever blip there is in his popularity, I don't think it's going to be lasting. But I would imagine this will be brought up again. This is the man that brought down Osama bin Laden. This is the man who culminated our efforts.
Shouldn't President Bush get his share of the credit? I mean, his immediate action after 9/11 had a lot to do with, you know, starting this operation that has finally ended in Obama's watch. So, but I don't think we're going to hear anything about that in the secular media either.
No, you know, in fact, whatever our previous administration did under Mr. Bush, it did stop further terrorist attacks on our soil during that entire time. You have to know there were enough Muslim terrorists that wanted to execute other acts of terror against our American population. Look, I'm glad for the event happening, and to whatever extent Mr. Obama deserves credit for it, I want to give him that credit. But again, like you, I had mixed emotions over that. Thanks for calling in, Lori. I appreciate that. Do I have time for one more call? Okay, I'm going to try. Michael in Clearwater, Florida. We're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
Hi, this is Michael.
Yes, go for it, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to say it doesn't matter what president was in office at the time, and I think that what we really need to focus on, and I hope the world comes together and are trying to come together to say, when you carry out a behavior that is destructive to any innocent lives, it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed from all points, not just from the point of the United States. As far as Osama bin Laden goes, my judgment on him is no judgment. I have fallen too many times as a Christian. I've made too many mistakes, and I continue to make mistakes. But I do feel that I hope the rest of the world that is listening understands that when you do cross a line that invades the innocence of people, that there is a price to be paid, and he holds the title. He may have been a mastermind, but the bottom line is Jesus Christ himself, when it comes time for judgment, is not going to sit there and ask you what kind of sin or you only did this.
Well, hang on. Yeah, Michael, just got to jump in because we're up against a break here. I do appreciate your thoughts, and I appreciate you recognizing the mercy of God in your life. I do want to say that God, in his word, and as he looks at us, makes quite a large distinction between those who go out and murder innocent people, those who willfully carry out acts and then continue in that path in an unrepentant way, versus if you thought a wrong thought and said, Lord, I'm sorry for that, or you spoke in anger to someone and said, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I would say there is a drastic difference, really the difference between life and death, the difference between mercy and judgment. We will be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to read something to you that's going to jar you. Listen to these words and tell me who said these. Tell me who carried these out. Remember God frequently. Pray during the night and be persistent in asking God to give you victory, control, and conquest that he may make your task easier. Purify your soul from unclean things. Completely forget something called this world. The time for play is over and the serious time is upon us. How much time have we wasted in our lives? Shouldn't we take advantage of these last hours to offer good deeds and obedience? Who were these words written to? Who read them and carried them out? These were instructions for the last night of an Islamic suicide terrorist. This was a text of the final letter that was read by the 9/11 terrorist bombers, thinking in their deep deception that they were doing God's will. It continues, you should feel complete tranquility because the time between you and your marriage, meaning in heaven, is very short. Afterward begins the happy life where God is satisfied with you in eternal bliss in the company of the prophets, the companions, the martyrs, and the good people who are all good company. What deception. About to go out and murder people and bring destruction on thousands and thousands of lives. And they think that during God's service, they're going to give themselves to good deeds. Look at the lives of radical Muslims who committed themselves to death to destroy others, thinking they were doing God's will. I wonder what it says to us who can commit ourselves to God to bring life and healing to others. We're talking about the death of Osama bin Laden today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I was glad that he was killed. I was proud of our military carrying it out. I still felt the mourning on another level for the lostness of the human race and the lostness of Osama bin Laden and the other Muslims killed with him, men without Jesus, who will face a further judgment far worse than being shot in the face. And then my mixed feelings that I knew this would be a political opportunity for the president who would take much credit for himself, but to the extent that he was the mastermind behind carrying out this attack on Osama bin Laden, more power to him. All right, how did you respond? How did the whole thing strike you? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go right to the phones with Brett in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm blessed, thank you.
I find it strange that we hunted this man for 10 years, and then overnight we find out he's been killed. They say they have DNA evidence, which, from what I understand, takes 2 weeks
right
to get the information back. And then they say they buried him at sea. You would think there'd be more people looking for definitive answers, more photography, more something, more evidence. And it just seems that there's not an option now. It's like you must believe what the government says. It was kind of a feel-good message. Okay, we got the bad guy, which I remember when they first had the FBI most wanted out for him. There's no tangible evidence besides a video saying that he did it, where there's also another video saying of him saying, I did not do this thing. So everyone is mad. Trust me, I'm not siding with Osama bin Laden, but you have all these people, like, happy that he's dead because of 9/11. What if he had nothing to do with it, as he himself said in his video? Because normally when there's an attack, the Muslim, faction is doing it, they are the ones that would jump up immediately and claim responsibility for an event. When 9/11
right.
happened, he didn't do that.
Yeah, well, let me just say this, Brett. Just because I've got a break here, so I just got to jump in. I wonder if anyone else is suspicious about his death. I wonder if anyone else is suspicious about what did it really happen. DNA, how can you do DNA tests so quickly? It's within a few hours. As far as I can understand, though, he fully took credit and responsibility for what happened on 9/11. That part's not in dispute to me, but I've heard others question, how can we be so sure we got it? We'll talk about that. 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in. We'll be back.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. We can talk through these issues. 866-34-TRUTH, issues surrounding the death of Osama bin Laden. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Okay. Some I know are suspicious. Come on, we got him, and now his body's disposed already? And we did DNA tests to confirm. We had DNA samples from his sister, and how can you do it so quickly? I understand the questions. I've been asked these questions already today. Our last caller raised these questions. It's amazing to me it took so many years to get him. With all of our intelligence, with all of our abilities to infiltrate, I know things that Israel has been able to do over the years and get in the very conversations of world leaders and have the rooms hacked and so on. And I understand that that can happen. It's shocking to me that it's taken this long to penetrate, because enough people would have to know where he is and where he's operating from. And yet there has to be a certain level of secrecy, a certain level of not trusting the outside world where people can't infiltrate. It took this long, and it was kind of a fluke thing that ended up getting us to him. That's interesting to me that it took this long. The fact that his body's immediately disposed, I understand you don't want to, you know, glorify him, make it into some kind of shrine. But here's my question. If we didn't get him, if we didn't actually get him, do you think we'd run the chance of claiming that we did for him to resurface tomorrow or next year in some video, like some Superman that survived death and you didn't get me? I mean, wouldn't that be a total mockery of our position? So although questions have been raised, trust me, I wondered about the DNA. Are the government going the quickest we can? Can you get DNA sample tested that quickly? Can we confirm in that level that quickly? But I personally am not suspicious. I'm curious about if our president said he's not a Muslim leader, if he's not a Muslim leader, then why did we bury him so carefully and make sure that we disposed of the body according to Muslim law and did it within 24 hours? Why were we so careful to follow Islamic tradition? Someone said, well, we didn't want to offend Muslims. Well, if you kill the guy and they like him or honor him or revere him, isn't that going to offend Muslims? And anyway, a lot of questions, but I'm not saying this to throw stones. I'm not saying this to criticize the government operation. I think the fact that he's gone and there's no body or anything makes it harder to glorify him in a certain level. But I understand the questions, and I'm very happy to take your calls and your thoughts on them. James in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. First, I'd like to say that I've bought several of your books, and I highly recommend them to people who are listening to you on the radio.
And thank you, sir.
Yeah, and the comment I had was sort of reflecting back to what Jeremiah Wright said after the Twin Towers were attacked, and he was sort of the biggest spokesman for the point of view that the apologist for Islam, saying that, you know, Islam has some issues that were worthwhile being heard, and, you know, this might be a horrible way to introduce us to the issues, but they were valid issues, okay? Well, so now, okay, our government has killed bin Laden. We've essentially killed the messenger of those valid issues. So are we doubling down on that now with this action?
Well, that's a very fair question to ask, James. The question is this going to further inflame Muslim sentiments against America, or is he so fringe that the rest of the Muslim world will say, we're glad this guy is out of the picture because he didn't represent us, and we're glad America got him? And that's really the iffy question. Iran celebrated his death, but that would just mean to me that Iran and Al-Qaeda are competing in competition because their ideologies are in many ways equally radical. Hamas is praising bin Laden and condemning America for the attacks. How many people does Hamas represent? There are many governments in the world that want to deal with Hamas and recognize them. So it's there's no question that this will further inflame anti-American hatred and Muslim sentiments against America. And then for them, they perceive this as Christianity among radical Muslims. But for the Muslim world as a whole, will they look at this as a good operation or not, or just more American territorialism and supremacy and going into Pakistan without Pakistani knowledge or permission? those are all valid questions, and we'll see as they unfold. But it's definitely definitely something we obviously wanted to do, pursue him and take him out, but definitely something that has implications, and we just have to see what unfolds in the coming days. But thanks for the question, James. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. God bless you, sir. Yeah, I mean, today we may have a lot more questions than we have answers, which is fine. That's why we're talking about it. I was planning on going in a different direction on today's show, but that's why Mondays in particular, we leave open to see which way the wind blows. Who is expecting this? Who is expecting this announcement? The announcement comes during Holocaust Remembrance Day. Isn't that interesting? And the announcement of his death comes the same day that Adolf Hitler's death was announced 66 years earlier, May 1st, 1945. How interesting is that? You say, was it time like that? Not from what I can understand. The Americans were looking for the right opportunity. We're planning on going in on Saturday, according to the reports. There were weather issues that had to go in on Sunday. I wonder why there wasn't more resistance, what was actually taking place at the compound. Lots of questions. They'll probably come out at some point, and then there'll be a movie about it. I'm sure we'll get to see the Hollywood version one day. Kathleen in Hawaii, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah.
You're on. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I am from Hawaii, and I don't believe that Mr. Obama does anything without first calculating the cost. And why now? Why have we gotten bin Laden now when we're just around election time?
Well, are we that? Just to ask this, I am not a supporter. I'm a supporter of our president as president, but I'm absolutely not a supporter of the policies and the moral stands of our president in many ways.
Exactly.
But we're not. You know, we're talking. This is May of 2011. If this happened much closer to election time, if this happened, you know, September or October of 2012. Then I'd wonder, but to happen at this time, to me, this was the window when we could get bin Laden, and this is why we acted on it. But thanks for calling in, Kathleen. And listen, you don't have to convince me of anything. This is just your opportunity to share your viewpoint, your thoughts. Natalie in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
When I received the message this morning, my heart was really distressed because the first thing I imagined is, What is he doing now, bin Laden? What is he doing now? Is he looking into paradise like the fella in Luke chapter 16 who looked over into paradise and just begged for a drink of water and who could see paradise and wanted to go back and tell all of the people that he knew, you know, don't come to this place? And it's so frustrating because we as Americans, it's almost like we claim to be a nation under God, but we don't even feel this way. We feel it's a time of celebration. We don't even, many of the funerals I've been to, some people you think this person has probably gone on to heaven. We preach a kind of a feel good message, but then you've got other people where, you know, they live kind of a raggedy life, and we don't even discuss the prospect of hell and what it might be like for these people who are popping into hell one after the other. And so that's what frustrates me, because it is contradictory. We're a nation under God, but we don't really grieve for the souls of people or desire to get out and tell people about who Jesus really is so they can avoid that kind of demise.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly do not have much of a glimpse of eternity. We certainly have much more focus on this world and the good and bad in this world. And, you know, we're jarred, rightly so, by a tragedy where people are wiped out in a tornado, or some tragic story of a car wreck and little children killed, or someone murdered in cold blood. And we're jarred by those things. And those things are terrible. They are losses of life. But as you say, we have very, very little thought about the world to come, very, very little thought about future punishment or future blessing. And when I heard the report, I was glad to see bin Laden taken down, that there is a role where government wields the sword and it brings justice. And there are scriptures that say that when the wicked are taken out of the way, the righteous rejoice. You know, as I said to a previous caller, what if Muslim terrorists were about to attack a daycare center and kill the children in there and the police took them out? We'd be rejoicing. Parents would be hugging each other and hugging the police that took them out, or the SWAT force, whoever it was. But that being said, then there's that other pain that we have as believers, another lost soul, another person without God, another person who scorned God's mercy. And will pay for it. So, Natalie, thanks for weighing in. The reality is that we need a deeper burden from the Lord, and these kind of jarring things often remind us that there is evil, there is wickedness, but then there's spiritual wickedness. There is a real devil out to destroy people's lives. The devil wants to destroy Muslims, and he wants to destroy Christians, and he wants to destroy everyone he can. And that's our arch enemy, and we need to bring liberty and salvation and transformation to the Muslim world at the same time that we are wise militarily. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls and some updates on my end as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to run right to the calls. A whole lot of folks want to weigh in with thoughts about the death of Osama bin Laden. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to get to as many as I can and then share a few personal things with you before the hour's out and let you know what I believe real revolution is supposed to look like. The kind of revolution God wants to bring, not the violent killing, maiming, taking life in the name of God, but bringing life in the name of God. David in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I heard on the TV that the reason that they buried his body at sea was because Saudi Arabia did not want his body, and also on the DNA, his sister had surgery or something here in the United States. I don't know if she passed or not, but they had DNA from her, and that's how they did it.
Yeah, certainly burying him at sea, I understand you don't want to have a shrine, you don't want to memorialize him. So, yeah, I had read about the DNA with his sister. So how did they check his DNA? That was my question. In other words, how did they find out that his DNA was the same as her DNA in just a few hours? I'm not saying we couldn't do it. I didn't know that we could do it that quickly.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, so we'll find out. I'm sure there'll be an answer in the next few days. But thank you, David, for weighing in. I appreciate it, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you off, David. My profound apologies. Pat in Kernersville, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, me?
Hello. Yes, hey. You're on.
Well, the first thing I want to say is we have to remember as children of God, we're not fighting flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. And we're here by God's appointment. And if we're children of his, we are in his keeping, and we're under his training. This is a training time for us to respond and react the way Christ would. And that means that lots of doors are going to be opened up for people to talk to people about the Lord and his salvation. And we have to remember this is his time. And I believe God is working. There's no doubt in my mind. And I want to encourage people, if you really want to know what God thinks, get in his word, and then you'll understand the judgment and the freedom, and just get in his word, and you will understand. I have a better understanding of all that's going on.
All right. Hey, Pat, thank you. Thank you for weighing in. Go to the word, get clarity from the Lord. Remember, there's a spiritual battle. Share the gospel. Can't argue with that, can you? Steve in Greenway, Pennsylvania, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, first of all, behind getting him many times, I know we could have, but I believe there was an alternative motive behind this, to study him, to see who was players with him. And second of all, I believe, well, I'm just thinking the Bible says not to take someone else's life. Well, I don't know what that comes to me for, but shouldn't have we captured him and held him and studied him and, you know, trying to, you know, dig into his brain somehow?
Yeah, Steve, I would have rather that we captured him and that he was tried. Perhaps that wasn't an alternative. I've read that we asked for his surrender, and he wouldn't, and there was a firefight. So maybe the only choice was to kill him. Otherwise, our guys would have been killed. But there is a time for military operations, and to me, that is not murder. That's not taking an innocent life. That would be carrying out a military operation against a terrorist. But I would have personally preferred a trial, and then let the people address him and let him understand the nature of what he did more fully. But still, I'm glad he's taken out of the way. But thanks for weighing in, sir. Okay, Dana in Cleveland. We're a little short on time, but please weigh in.
Okay. I remember that when there was a time in the United States here, whenever there was prayer in the public schools for the foundation of children, and it didn't matter whether kids were Christian or whether they were Muslims or Jews or whatever they were, they had that personal time in their homeroom in the morning where they could think about God the way that they were being brought up to know God, and that was their basis of knowing their existence as a spirit of God and that God works in their lives. And I think that gives everybody a firm foundation of who God is from the very beginning and that there is a sense of God. I think what happens many times is there are too many people that grow up and, you know, you have people saying,
hang on. How does this tie in with the death of Osama bin Laden? I think I missed something here.
Well, it definitely ties into it because first of all, bin Laden was the result of, there were many, many deaths in the other and other countries besides America as a result of his being in the government in the Middle East. However, it wasn't such an impact in America until it happened, and you know, when things aren't such an impact, until they happen on your own door.
Got it. Okay. So, a little short on time, so I got to jump in. I apologize. I'm sure there was more to that story, but I'm not going to have time to hear it, so my apologies, Dana. Maybe we can hear the rest of that on a subsequent broadcast. Okay, friends, I think it's important to look at radical Islam. I think it's important to look at the commitment to the death these people have. I think it's important to recognize how deeply they believe that if they can die as martyrs, they can go into Allah's presence, and then to recognize that as a perversion of the type of commitment God wants. God wants a commitment that is completely given over to him, that absolutely fervently believes in the world to come, fervently, and lives in this world in light of the world to come, which makes this world take on a far greater importance, if you can understand my train of thought there, because the implications of what happens in this world are eternal. But we are supposed to have that radical commitment for the cause of life. We are supposed to have that radical commitment to set captives free. We are supposed to have that radical commitment to bring liberation, not bondage, not death, not destruction. That's the kind of revolution Jesus calls for, one where we give our lives to bring life and healing and transformation to others. We overcome hatred with love. We overcome evil with good. That's what we do for the gospel. Now, I want to encourage you to get hold of some resources that will rock your world. Don't get them unless you want to be jolted. But three books of mine, How Saved Are We?, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. They will rock your world, trust me. Together with three revolutionary messages, Call to Die, Holy Desperation, and Fire, at especially discounted price today. Don't get these unless you're serious, but if you want a jolt, something that'll stir you, 800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or you can find them listed on AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Also, now's a great time to visit Amazon.com as we have some more bogus attacking reviews. The most recent one saying that the book is vile on all levels. A Queer Thing Happened to America is vile on all levels, and I must be morally bankrupt on all levels. So this is a great time for you to weigh in when you see a good, honest review. Check it off that you found it helpful. When you find one of these other bashing reviews, check it off as unhelpful. And this way it helps other readers assess the book better. So go to Amazon.com. Spend like 5 minutes doing that, and that'll make a difference to a lot of people. It's a way that together we can make a difference. And if you don't have your copy of the book yet, now's a great time to get it. Get it out to friends. Truth will triumph. My bottom line, very simple. I want to look at the lives of those who have given themselves to a cause for destruction, for death. I want to look at the lives of those who laid down their lives to take the lives of others, and I want to recognize how that is a total perversion of the purposes of God, and I want to give my life all the more radically for life, for help, for hope, for truth, for light. I want to give my life to the purposes of God that will change the world.